780-782-3827.
We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Tuesday, everybody. A little different weather today than yesterday. I had 99 on my truck yesterday. I don't know how accurate the truck temperatures are, but it was a little warm yesterday. And man, you could tell it this morning with the what crops are left growing and the grass everywhere that had any green to it's going backwards. So, man, I'm just not seeing anything on the forecast to get me fired up. So keep our fingers crossed and hope our weather pattern changes sooner than later. Let's check out some temperatures here in western Oklahoma. 67 at Hollis, 68 at Granville. Medicine Park, you're 59. Fort Cobb, you're 55. 56 degrees at Arnett, home of the not-so-famous Jeremiah, or wants to be famous. No, he wants to be famous. That's it. 48 degrees at Boise City, 56 at May Ranch. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, what do we got? 55 at Lipscomb, Miami's 56, 59 at Lake McClellan, 65 at Wellington. Goodlet, you're 68, and Odell, 68 degrees. And it's not very far south of Odell. They're in the upper 80s already. Actually, Rotan, which is south of Jayton, Texas, you're 90. So it's not very far down there. She's pretty warm. I got Brandon to be coming on here in the second segment, hopefully, and talk about the sales at Western Oklahoma in the Elk City livestock market. First of all, the antitrust laws and the Big Four have come back into play. They're back in the news yesterday. And, you know, everybody's got their thoughts, and there's no use in anybody getting mad at each other because their opinions differ. And if they're going to do something, they need to do something. I've been doing the show almost 5 years now. This month or next month will be 5 years now. And I've seen it come and go. It's always talked about. The cattle associations, national ones, always talking about it and cool. And seems like nothing ever gets done. But I've seen a comment from a person that on social media that it kind of made sense. You know, the United States has a lot of trade agreements with different countries. And, you know, you hear the deal about people from the United States going up to either Canada or Mexico to buy drugs that they're on for either heart or diabetes. And it's so much cheaper on the other side of the border and blah blah blah. So, you know, that is kind of, I don't know. And then this and that, no matter what, all kinds of different products is higher in the United States than it is in the other countries. And so, and I've said it, you guys know I've said it a million times, that my main concern, I don't care what label you put on the meat. I don't care what label you put on potatoes. I don't care about that. What I do care about is foreign countries owning food manufacturers, if you want to call them. The processors, the big four processors, two of them are majority owned by foreign companies. I think that's a security risk to me. And I don't know how we fix it or if it can be fixed. Does these companies, are they in bed with the other people where it ain't going to get pulled out of there? I don't know. I don't know that. I'm not up there. I'm not dealing with those people. All you read is what you hear in the media, whether it's regular media or agriculture media. And it's just one of those deals. I've said it. This is my thoughts. And like I said, don't get mad at me because you don't agree with me. Because I say, I read both sides of the story here on my show a lot. And you guys know it. I try to stay on the fence, but sometimes I got to jump off on my side of the fence and tell you my thoughts. Cool. Guess what? The World Trade Association didn't want it because it was against trade agreements. So there we go. Trade agreements. And you guys can say, well, we just need to quit exporting meat and quit importing meat. It really can't be done because you think about it, our shortage on cattle right now, and it's not a do or die shortage. It's one of those things where, yes, we don't have as many cows in the operation as we did and having calves due to droughts and this and that and all that stuff. And we can rebuild. And then here we are in the middle of another drought. And that does concern me because probably in the next 30 to 60 days, some guys are going to have to be making some decisions. Do I have enough feed or hay? Do feed my cows until it rains? Do I need to go ahead and unload them now at the barn? Because if you look at the drought monitor in the United States, it's not very good in cattle country, in none of the cattle country. I mean, look at Nebraska. Look at Kansas. Of all the states, Kansas and North Dakota are probably in the best shape of all of them. But North Dakota, their growing season for grass is real short. And are they going to move these cattle, say they sell here in Oklahoma, are they going to move them up there? I don't know that answer. And so we got that going on. So we're going to be in maybe another limited on our cattle population. But to me, let's worry about the big four, if anything can be done with that, with the antitrust laws. Let's see if we can do anything with that. Cool. I think it just needs to be put on the back burner, and we got more problems to worry about than cool. I don't know how many people I've asked at the grocery store, and I'm just one guy asking 2-3 dozen people, and they don't care. The people raising the most cane about cool is ourselves, our cattlemen ourselves, and we feed ourselves. We raise our own beef. We put it in our own freezer. And I know it's a big deal with a lot of cattle associations, like RCAF and stuff like that. And that's fine. I'm not downplaying what they're doing. What I am downplaying is it's the least of our worries on the agenda, period. We got other things to worry about. We got farmers and ranchers going out of business because of droughts, because of cost of doing inputs of farming and ranching. And we have grain prices. We got our commodity prices that, they're going up right now. Some of them are. Cotton's up to almost 85 cents a pound today for July. Hard red winter wheat is up almost to $7 right now. And that's great. But you know the reason why? Is because nobody's going to produce any. How many harvest crews have you guys seen going south? They should already be down there. How many did you see? A couple, maybe? I don't know. Those guys are going to be hurting because they got combine payments to make. They got people they got on the payroll that they're not doing anything. We got more worries to do, more to worry about than cool, period. Trucks to feed your cattle nowadays, $100,000. Okay, how many calves is that to pay that off? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Insurance, interest rates. We got more to worry about. Let's focus on that. Let's not focus on the labels of the meat in the supermarket right now. Just put it on the back burner. I didn't say forget about it. I said, let's put it on the back burner. So that's Jimmy's 2 cents worth today. And then I seen something in Successful Farmer Farming that the agriculture department, the U.S. Agriculture Department, put a deal on hold on a couple of people, females, that were voted on to be on the checkoff board for soybeans. And they're raising Cain about Trump and Secretary Rollins doing this. Well, guess what? The first year I did my show here, when Ag Secretary was Vilsack, he did the same thing. And I guess it's written in a fine print down there. If the government wants to put somebody on the checkoff board and override something else, I guess they can. Why they did this, I have no clue. But let's just focus on what's going on here. And we need more new farmers and ranchers to come into our industry. Just like I was talking to Dr. Prather yesterday from Shattuck about his new role at the OSU as the dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine. We need more vets. We got more things to worry about than where the meat comes from and if it's got a USA label on it. Everything should be labeled, yeah, but we got more to worry about. So there you go. Don't be mad at me if you don't agree with me, because I'll hear your side too. All right, what is today? Today is the Stockman's Veterinary Clinic happy hour. And I'm glad I had Dr. Prather on yesterday. I didn't know Dr. Mouse worked with him as an intern up there. So see, I learned something new every day on this show. All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break and we'll be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weight, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op Gym at 720 South Main in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. That's Farmers Union Co-op Gym, 720 South Main in Elk City, 580-225-0191.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Inventor Thomas Edison remarked that opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Many great careers have had very humble beginnings. The key is to take advantage of the opportunities in front of you and put in the required effort. As the class of 2026 graduates, we wish you the best of success.
AirTech says, great job on this chapter of your life, graduates. Now go out and make the rest of your story everything you want it to be. From AirTech Air Conditioning and Heating.
A hailstorm has rained down additional savings on all of our new and pre-owned inventory at Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City, so you can get big hail sale discounts right now. This is a real savings opportunity for you as a buyer, and on most vehicles, the dents are barely visible. Choose from hundreds of Chevys and GMCs with potentially thousands in added hail sale savings. And you can either have our dent doctor work his magic or just drive away with even greater hail sale discounts. Only at Lipscomb Chevrolet GMC in Elk City and at LipscombChevroletGMC.com while they last. Good people, great hail sale deals available now.
You put your equipment through the ringer, and you do it in extreme weather out here. Parts that don't last aren't worth a dime. Gates hydraulic hoses are designed for high-pressure use. They keep going when the others fall apart. They're also flexible, so they're easy to handle, and they're easy to install in tight spaces. Did you know that Napa Auto Parts does customized hydraulic hoses, all Gates hydraulics? Well, guess what? Now you know. Gates Hydraulic Hoses at Napa in Elk City, Weatherford, and Hinton, because you need parts that withstand the pressure.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 27th. 1,477 head were sold. Four head of steers at 495 brought 527.50. Six at 571 brought 470. Eight at 610 brought 459. Five at 756 brought 383. 33 at 970 brought 333. 10 at 1,008 brought 316.50. 40 at 1014 brought 314. Five head of heifers at 556 brought 370. 70. 37 at 730 brought 349. 11 at 808 brought 338. 9 at 881 brought 324. 16 at 889 brought 324. 10 at 962 brought 309. Butcher cows were 70 to 186. Butcher bulls 161 to 214. Bred cows 1950 to 3250. Pairs brought 3409 to 4100. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I got the man, the legend, Brandon Hickey from the Western Oklahoma and Elk City Livestock Auction on the phone with me today. Good morning, or good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Man, like I told you, I'm just in a good humor. You know, I was telling you why, and then on the flip side of that, the big four's back in the news for the umpteenth time in the last 10 years, and I don't know. I don't even know if anybody can do anything about it. But at least it's in the news, and we know it's still around. So,
I'll just find the joy in everything if you can. That's the secret of life, right?
Yeah, that is the secret to life. You just gotta find some joy in what you're doing. And I know we're in a bind for some rain, but we I don't know. I was thinking if the government could work a deal out with a couple of the big four, especially the foreign-owned ones, to leave, and in return somebody could fly some of those rainmaking planes over our area, that it would help. I don't know. So, you know, there's all kinds of crazy deals being made with the government, you know, worldwide. So why can't they help us out with a little bit of rain? Yo, I lost you. Are you there?
Yeah.
You sound like I'm not getting a good signal on you, Brandon. Uh-oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I could hardly understand most of what you just said. It was real, real distorted, so I don't know if it was me or you or what was going on.
Well, it sounded like a phone signal going on there. I don't know. I'll let listeners, is it me or him? 580-225-9697. You got some numbers running through the sale barn this time of the year.
Oh, yeah, we did. There's good numbers Friday. The big cow run again. I think we was just shy of 700 cows. The market was good. The everything on the replacements, stocker females, and short-term bred cows, pairs with young bred cows, they'd all maybe down just a little bit with the dry weather, but still really good. Still quite a bit of interest, quite a bit of demand. But everybody just kind of pulling their bids back just a smidgen with the dry weather. The steer and bull calves also maybe just a little bit cheaper this week on the cattle going back out to the country. Again, on that, that's everything except for the big, nice grazing steers. They haven't pulled down any of, you know, those 5 to 7 weight steers that's ready to go right straight on out or staying fully steady week in and week out. But had a lot of new crop calves, and they was a little bit cheaper this week on the steers and bulls. However, that had some new power in the barn on the heifers, and the heifers was actually higher than they were the week before. So good overall market, still really good prices, still outstanding dollar per head on those calves and the fall born calves and whatnot that we've started seeing. It's really, really good, but just not quite as good as it was a couple of weeks ago with the dry weather.
I got you. And then I'm catching rumors of some guys thinking if it doesn't rain here in the next 30 days, you know, they're probably going to start doing some culling. Hopefully we get a rain. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. we're hoping that we get some rain so we don't have people have to start doing some sure enough, serious culling, and you know, I really, really don't want to see another drought sell-off start. But hopefully rain's on the way. I sure hope. I'd like, you know, I'm happy with the numbers that are running. I really don't want to see them picked up and start getting rid of some more of these factories that we've got out there. Some more of these young cows having to come to town because people are running out of grass and water and hay.
Yep, because you know, after that last drought, you know, or a lot of guys have improved their genetics with their cow herd and stuff, and you've seen you probably don't know what percentage or whatever, but I'm pretty sure you of all people here in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, you've seen all the calves coming through the arena there, that or the ring there, I mean, but you've seen the genetics, how they've improved a lot here in the last decade.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And just like you said, the drought contributed to that when people got rid of the cattle there in 11 and 12, and then they got ready to stock back. And, they, you know, there wasn't as many as plainer cattle available. You just had to buy the better end of the cows. And the bulls out there are really outstanding right now that you're being able to get. You're exactly right. The genetics is just considerably better than what they've been. And they just kind of keep improving a little bit every year. But calf prices are phenomenal. And, you know, it makes you want to increase your cow herd if you can. But the grass and the rain situation is not really wanting to allow that right now.
No, it's not. We've got spotted areas that got some rain. But one of them cow herds I take care of, one of my landlords, you know, he was in the middle of all that good rain, and just like I started said when I started the show today, it's going backwards really quick, and so it's just, well, when you got 90 in the 90s like yesterday and the wind howling, that doesn't help anything either.
No, and then today we're down in the 60s, but the wind's still howling.
yeah, it's hurricane season again in May for Oklahoma. But what do you got coming in this Friday at Elk City?
We have got an outstanding set of mostly red Angus, 4 to 8 year old bred cows and pairs. Be mostly pairs on that deal. Really, really nice set. Come from out of the north. I've got a gentleman from Altus bringing me 6 really fancy, nice, year and a half to two-year-old Angus bulls. Be similar to the ones he brought here a couple of 3 weeks ago. There'll be some heifer bulls on the deal. There'll be some production bulls, and there'll be some maternal bulls. So, you know, whatever you're kind of needing for your program, he's sure got some bulls that'll fit your deal. And he's going to bring us 6 more there to sell this week. And gentleman that you know real well from down in the Reed area is going to bring us some cows, and we've got 15 real fancy first calf heifer pairs coming from corn.
Well, good. Oh, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm bringing in probably 6 or 7 cows for you Thursday for Bruce.
Okay.
And anyway, they're older cows. Some of them be bred, some of them be open. And this group here wouldn't know. They won't have any babies on them, but they'll either be bred or open. But I'm bringing them in this Thursday for Mr. Bruce. And then next week I got some more coming in for you.
All right. Sounds good.
Save me a phone call. No, we got some coming in. And then, that sounds good. So isn't that a gentleman from down there around Altus, isn't that where Cotton King got his bull from?
Yeah, I don't know of anything coming from Sentinel, but there could be some cattle coming from down south, but not exactly where he's from that I know of right now anyway.
Okay, well, I was just wondering if he had another bull go crazy that he could load in the back of his truck without being a cowboy, that he can bring it up and then he can buy another bull from that guy he did last a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
because they're still giving him heck on social media over his tactics in catching any fence jumping bull. let's travel on down to down I-40 to Western Oklahoma. I did brag on the Newcomb Cattle Company heifers that were brought in there yesterday. I talked about it on my show. I said, if you hurry, you can get over there, and because I knew those heifers weren't implanted. Somebody wanted some nice heifers to get started back. They were really nice. I got to look at them over there by Haggard Road. They was pretty nice heifers.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I had a really good run. We ended up with about 500 cattle, more than we were expecting. They really, Monday morning, a lot of fall-born calves starting to come to town, you know, they're about a month early from what most of them start to come. But, I mean, again, kind of dry weather related. But I mean, if you're going to pull them off early and bring them in, the prices are phenomenal. The dollars that you're getting out of those calves is really, really good. And we saw a lot of those show up and then had another big feeder run. Lots of big groups of nice feeder cattle. I would probably call it maybe just a little bit weaker than the week before, but not very much. It's pretty close to being steady for the most part. Maybe just slightly down, more so on the steers probably than the heifers. But good market, lots of buyer interest. We've kind of plugged the pipeline up just a little bit here with all the April cattle, and you know, that kind of caused some of them to pull their bids just a little bit. But they still want cattle. They're worried about not being able to get them later, so they continue to buy them at a pretty good price. And you know, when they've been getting some really good fat cattle prices, that's exciting to see what they've been able to get out of some of these fat cattle the last couple of weeks. So excited about that for future, you know, as we get into the grilling season here, Memorial Day, and going into the summer, we're going to see, you know, how much higher will we be able to get these fat cattle to go. And that's going to really tell a tale as we go on forward of what these fat cattle, or these feeder cattle, are going to be worth as we go on into the rest of the summer here.
Well, I heard rumors, because the board, you know, came down a couple days in a row, and including yesterday and today, it's back up a little bit. But they, you know, I asked some of the guys, you know, what's the reason and what's the board doing? I guess it's because it got those record prices and they wanted to get them back down, I guess. I don't know. What are your thoughts on why the board was down there 3 or 4 days in a row?
Yeah, I think, again, it's just kind of a numbers game. We would just kind of have plugged up the pipeline just a little bit here. That was, you know, done what we normally do in March, we've kind of done in the month of April this year, you know, with, you know, all of our kind of pulled our, most of our May cattle forward. And we're still got some feeder cattle coming, you know, but the numbers that we usually get coming off of graze out in May are just not going to be what they normally are, because the majority of them cattle have already had to come to town. And I think people just kind of seeing that and seeing these numbers. And, you know, I think, like I say, this thing's kind of a temporary pullback, you know, because we've seen the cash pullback. We pulled the futures boards pulled back a little bit, indexes pulled back a little bit. And I think that's completely and totally due to the fact that we've sold a lot of numbers in the month of April. We're very unusual in the month of April. It'll be really interesting to see here in a couple of more weeks how that April placement number looks, because it's I know my numbers have sure been pretty phenomenal for the month of April on the feeder cattle, feedlot ready cattle there at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and I'm sure a lot of these other barns around have been seeing the same thing as these cattle get pulled forward in the dry. The wheat just played out really fast with not getting a good drink of water there this spring, and that pulled a lot of cattle in earlier than they would have been, and you know, and that kind of continues to happen. And I don't know at what point do we hit the wall that they quit pulling cattle forward and things slow down, but it's sure been pretty busy here for several weeks now.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You know, your numbers are, you know, usually when it comes around May, what, you pull back to 1,000 or less at like Elk City, and you've been running steady 1,400 to 1,600 here for the last month or stuff. What do you think about is not only the drought, but, you know, I don't know if half of Nebraska burnt, but pretty much at least a third of Nebraska burnt. and they're not been getting any rains up there either. What do you think? You think that's going to affect our market too? Because, I mean, I don't know where those cattle are going or how many they lost during those wildfires, but it seems like you add the drought going on in the Texas and Oklahoma and in parts of Kansas and Colorado, and then you add those big fires that they had in Nebraska, and then plus they got a drought going on in the whole state of Nebraska up there. I guess we just don't know what to expect here in the next 2 to 4 weeks, like you were talking about.
Yeah, you know, most of those cows, there's a lot of displaced cows out of Nebraska. You know, I think a lot of those cows have found their way into the Kansas Flint Hills country, you know, to kind of store them until they get their grass back up there in the Nebraska country. And I think that's what we've seen, is that a lot of them guys have been able to come up with some grass. In other parts of the world, not just in the Kansas Flint Hills, but some other parts as well, they've been able to keep those cows, at least the ones that, you know, weren't in the fire. You know, and I'm sure there was a pretty large number of cows that were taken out of production that, you know, probably weren't able to escape the fire, like, you know, we've seen on multiple occasions. But, you know, a lot of those cows have got rehomed somewhere else a little bit, you know, so... not going to hurt our production numbers greatly, but it's still a fact. I mean, we're still so low on our numbers that, you know, any little low number of cows coming out of production, it makes more of a difference. You know, when you're down this low, it makes a bigger percentage of difference when you do take some cows out of production. And so it will be interesting to see as we go forward here this spring, rest of this spring, this summer, this fall, you know, what these prices are going to do. It looks, you know, fundamentally, number-wise, it looks really, really good. You know, I'm sure there'll be some things come along that'll scare the paper traders, and they'll want to knock it back a little bit. But, you know, if supply and demand is truly ruling this thing, well, you know, anything they do to knock it back, it's probably going to crawl back up out of it for a little while, or at least for the next couple of years, sure looks to me like.
Yep, makes sense. Hey, I need to, on a personal side, your daughter's graduating pretty quick, isn't she?
Yes, we will actually, I have been informed by the my office manager there at Elk City that I would be leaving by noon on Friday to make sure I got a parking place and was there for her to walk across the stage Friday night at 8 o'clock. We're still arguing about the time that I'm going to leave. I'm not really sure it's necessary for me to leave at noon, but Aaron and I will be leaving early on Friday to go watch her walk across the stage and get her diploma there. She'll be official graduate of the Ag Communications College at Oklahoma State University.
Exciting times with the Hickey family. Yeah, so I guess what I'll do is after my show, I'll come by for a greasy cheeseburger from Cousin Kay, and I'll see if you're gone.
Yep. See who won that argument.
And if I do catch you there, I'm going to yell at you and point at the watch.
She's telling me I got to leave by noon. I'm telling her I don't need to leave by 5. Well, maybe we'll meet somewhere in the middle.
Good luck on that one. So there's good luck. Man, that's exciting that Emma's graduating. Is she going to take a graduation trip? Do you know?
We have a family trip planned for both of my graduates, sometime there, the end of May. I don't know. We're leaving like on the 23rd, 24th, somewhere like that, and be back about June 1st. We're going to go down to Panama Beach for about, 3 or 4 days and then go up to Atlanta, Georgia. And Nate's going to be in a big shooting tournament at Forsyth, Georgia is actually where it is for about 3 days, and then we'll fly home and get back in to tell them, okay, we're back in the real world. You know, you got two graduates that, you know, you're gonna get a week or so here to relax and enjoy the fruits of your labor, but then you're gonna get home and get to work.
Yeah, get home and get to work. And yeah, that's right. He graduates too. Yeah, you got a full boat this month.
Yes, yes, yeah. With all the senior high school senior activities, the awards banquets, sports banquets, and FFA banquets, and we're actually headed out tomorrow to head to Tulsa to watch Nate walk across the stage and get his state farmer degree. So that's exciting that we'll be headed that direction tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah. That means Briley's got a lot to talk about when she gets back Friday for the show. Yeah, that's exciting, exciting good times. Well, Mr. Hickey, thanks for taking out taking some time out to talk with me on the show today. And I guess we'll talk to you next week. And if I see you Friday, you're in trouble.
Sounds great, Jenny.
All right, thank you. All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break. And when I come back, I'll have up-to-date market reports coming on for the grains, and the cattle look really good today. Everything on the livestock board looks in the green today, and a lot of red on the grains, and I hadn't even looked at the oil yet. So we'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
I am a personal banker. That's my title. When you come in, I'm going to help you open your account, decide what type of account you might need. You're kind of going to tell me your needs. I'll tell you what we have that will fit your need. You have to have a valid picture ID and social security card. That's it. It doesn't take very long. I would say 20 minutes. Depends on how much we start visiting. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Fracking, production, completion. We believe in a future where energy production goes hand in hand with environmental stewardship and innovation. Join us at the forefront of the oil and gas industry. Ensure your wells are not just productive, but also sustainable. WellWorks Energy, where energy meets innovation. Visit us at WellWorksEnergy.com. or call today to learn more about our services and how we can support your operations. WellWorks Energy.
They're expecting me to get whatever task done. To a farmer, a tractor, combine, gets them up and running. He's back in the field, makes some money. Guy in the oil field, their piece of equipment's running again. That makes some money. Solves that problem. I'm Brock Kalk, and my company is American Hose and Supply. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in. We'll build it. You're an oilfield customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. If we're competitive on price, we say we'll bring it to you. We'll do whatever it takes to get it to you, make life easier on you, or you can call us to solve a problem. Hey, can you get this? Why wouldn't you? American Hose and Supply, 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's.
Or call 303-1123. 303-1123.
Why wouldn't you?
Valley Center pivots are the most durable and reliable you can find. But when you do need replacement parts, your operation deserves the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Knutson Irrigation has been serving growers since 1981, and their experienced service technicians stand behind every part in their fully stocked warehouse. They also service other pivot brands. So when you need fast service and reliable parts, you need Knutson Irrigation. Call them for service or visit KnutsonIrrigation.com for more info.
Kent Watkins here with SE Agritech in Elk City. Are feral hogs and gophers destroying your land and crops? We have the solution. Introducing Kaput Feral Hog and Gopher Bait, engineered for maximum efficiency and safety. Protect your fields and restore your property with Kaput. And we sell out-of-state customers as well. Stop by and give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all the latest updates and information.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's see here. What's happening with the weather? Let's do the Lipscomb Auto Group's update, ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Ceiling, it's 55 degrees. Dew point's 41. Humidity 61. The winds are out of the northeast at 15 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 71 degrees. Sunset at 8:26, 59 degrees and cloudy. Today, northeast winds 17 to 20 with wind gust up to 30. Tonight, more of the same with the wind, 44 for a low. And tomorrow, more of the same. Mostly cloudy, 59 for a high. Northeast winds 10 to 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 20-25 tomorrow. So how about that? All right, let's see what the grain market's doing here. Kansas City wheat, May, 673, down 9. July is 688, down 5 and 3 quarters. Chicago wheat, May, 614, down 14 and 3 quarters. July is 627, down 13 and a half. Corn for May, 465, down 8 and a quarter. July is down 6 and a half at 479. Soybeans for May, 1195, down 11 and 3 quarters. July is 1211, down 11. Soybean oil, May, 78.15, up 13. Soybean meal, May, 322.90, up 220. July is 320.70, down 20. Oats for May, 335. Unchanged. July is 363, up 4. All right, let's see what the lives are doing. Here we go. June live cattle, 253 even, up 125. August is 248.10, up 192. Feeders for May, 371.52, up 492. August, 371.90, up 530. September's up 530 also at 370.10. Lean hogs, May, 92.77, up 115, and June, 101.15, up 140. All right, let's see what the old cotton's doing. July cotton, 84.43, up 153, and October's 84.30, up 44. And oil, let's see what oil and gas are doing today. Oils came back down, still above 100. It's 101.66 for June, down 4.76. Natural gas, June, 280, down 6. And there we have it. Nothing major going on there. All right, let's see here. According to the USDA, the March alfalfa takes a small jump. The average price for alfalfa hay rose $7 per ton from February and settled in around $166 in March, according to the USDA's Ag Prices Report. It appears that alfalfa hay has found it a happy spot between 160 and 170, which is where it's been since last August. The March 2026 price was $2 below the posted price a year ago. Historically, hay prices will peak during the year in April or May. The average price for grass hay in March remains around $138 to $140 a ton, which was $1 below February and $6 under the price from a year ago. The price paid for supreme or premium alfalfa hay during March moved up a modest dollar to $230 a ton. During this time of the year, high-quality hay is getting harder to find. It's a true fact. Five states posted double-digit improvements from February to March. Iowa's up $19 a ton. Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming were all up about $10. Three states had double-digit hay price decline. Michigan, New York, and Pennsylvania were down $10 a ton. The highest average March alfalfa hay price was reported in Pennsylvania at $265 per ton. New Mexico and New York followed at $250. Kentucky was posted at $240 per ton average price. North Dakota had the lowest average alfalfa prices, they always do, at $94 a ton. South Dakota was $98 and Nebraska was $101 per ton. Keep in mind that USDA average prices accounts for all qualities and bale types of hay sold. Also, the final U.S. estimate and volume weighted average rather than a simple average of state values. So there you have it. Okay, let's see what's happening in Oklahoma with alfalfa hay prices. Not really much to go off here. It says here that alfalfa hay in March was $171. In February, it was $156. And in March of... other hay. There we go. I got it figured out. Other hay. This is all reported sales. Not everything gets reported. I never report my hay when I sell it. If I sell any, $92 a ton for other hay in March of 2025. In March of 2026 is at $75. There we go. I'm sorry. I figured it out. Oklahoma alfalfa hay, I said $171 a ton. That was a year ago, March, and now it's $161. Gotcha. Texas. $238 last year for alfalfa hay, $230 this year. Other hay, last year was $126. This year it's $111. There you have it. Okay, let's take a Stockman's Vet break. Remember, if you haven't turned your bulls out with your cows, please set up an appointment with a vet and get your bulls tested. It doesn't cost that much. Yeah, it takes you half a day to a day out of your time to bring them into town, get them tested and all that. But you really need to get them tested. You need to be doing it now. You need to set up an appointment, probably with any vet that's being used out there. You need to set up a doctor's appointment, as you would call it. So, all right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Most of your farm equipment has cylinders. Sometimes they know what's the matter with it. If it's leaking, they'll bring it in. If they just need a seal kit, you tear it completely apart. Replace all the rubber goods that's in the cylinder. Well, my name is Roy Jones, and everybody in Elk City knows me by Bird. And this is Camrock Supply, Elk City, Oklahoma.
It's 2111 South Main, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
I've known them guys for years and years. And they know what I'm capable of doing.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
A good education is much more than a technical knowledge of algebra, English, history, literature, arts, and sciences. It also challenges students to learn to think, to analyze the problems at hand, and to search for the right solutions. The members of the class of 2026 are ready to put their education to work, and we offer them our best wishes for success in the years ahead.
Graduates, may truth be your guiding light, and may you always be a light to the world. North Fork Electric Co-op wishes you all the best. North Fork Electric Co-op in Sayre.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Southwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. Mangum, 64 degrees, dew points 46, humidity's 52, the winds are out of the north-northeast at 20 miles an hour, the wind gust up to 27. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 72 degrees, sunset at 8:25, mostly cloudy and 68 degrees today, 46 tonight. Tomorrow, more of the same, a little warmer down here in southwestern Oklahoma versus northwestern, 73 degrees and partly sunny, but it'll still be a little windy, 14 to 18 mile an hour wind with gust up to 25 out of the northeast. So I just seen this on RFD TV. It said the Department of Justice, and there's a sentence in here that scares me. The Department of Justice is gearing up for an announcement later this week that could bring down the price of protein at the grocery store. Nobody said anything about that. It comes as their antitrust investigation continues into the major meat packers. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says that action is needed, warning the landscape right now is frightening to cattle producers. Okay, I don't like what I read there. Personally, I don't. That could bring down the price of protein of the grocery store. Okay, that's needed, I guess, if you want to say so. I think the price of cattle at the sale barns right now is where they need to be. If you compare the percentage of inputs to the price of cattle back in 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010, 2020, and now, the inputs have tripled, quadrupled, even more since 1980 compared to today. Now, the cattle prices right now are at record highs, but if you look at the percentages between all those 80s, 90s, 2000 that I just read off, our profit percentage is the difference between our inputs and what we're getting at the market are pretty decent right now. But that gap is closing to the percentages that were back in those other years I mentioned. Because you know what a new pickup costs like in 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010? Okay. But since 2020, the inputs, the truck cost, like I'm just using the pickup for a cost because that's one of them. It's crazy how much difference there is now. Well, the cattle hasn't really doubled in price, but close to it. So I think if it goes down at the grocery store, that's great. But I don't think we need the prices to go down when we're selling right now. It just don't need to happen. So anyway, it says industrial consolidation reduces options for our ranchers looking to sell their cattle. It weakens their negotiating power and risks reliance upon a single buyer. Today, the concentration of larger plants opens the doors to tighter correlation with the exertion of control over them as well. So that's going on. It's back in the news. That's what was in the news today compared to yesterday. All right, I got time to do Pete's pick of the week. It was a 1999, and I had three of these when I was in Kansas City, the exact same model. Bobcat Skid Steer made his pick of the deal. Auction prices continue to hold strong, as highlighted by a recent auction hosted by Sexton Auctioneers in Pomona, Missouri. Taking machinery's picks of the week was a 1999 Bobcat 773 Skidlet Steer with 291 hours on it, sold for $20,500. That's the highest auction price for this model in 20 months. The consignment also featured a 2026 Bobcat T770 with only 7 hours on it, sold for $68,500. And then a 1916 Laverne Wrecker truck sold for $18,750. That skid loader looked good for as old as it was in 1999, because I had three 2005 773s. Man, them were good little skid loaders. So there you have it. See you guys tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City and Zaire, Oklahoma.